好，诸位菩萨，阿弥陀佛，早安。
Good morning, everyone.
我们上次的那一堂讲经是在六月，所以我们隔了几个月，两个多月，再跟大家继续分享八大人觉经。好，希望大家上次讲的还记得齁，没关系，不记得我们这次稍微再复习一下，因为我们上次讲到第四觉知，第四觉知讲的就是精进。那我们今天会稍微把我们上次讲的内容稍微复习一下，然后再继续讲这个觉知。然后希望我今天齁可以把第五跟第六讲完，因为今年我一定要把这个主题把它结束齁。
So we have been discussing the Sutra of the Eight Realizations of Great Beings, and last time our previous lecture took place in June, and I hope you still remember some of the things that we talked about during that session, but that's okay, because we'll go back and review a little bit of what we discussed previously, which focused on the realization of becoming more vigor, practicing with vigor.And that is the number fourth realization. And for today, I hope I will be able to finish the fifth and sixth realization, since I'm hoping that I'll finish this entire sutra by the end of this year.
好，那开始之前呢，我们还是照规矩来，我们念一下开经记。We'll recite the verses for beginning the sutras altogether.无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇，我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实义。 The unsuppressed, profound and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion eons. Today we see, hear, receive and hope itBowing to fasten the true meaning of the Tathagatas.
Okay.
好，精进，上次有讲到精进的部分，我们把这个觉知念一下，第四觉知，懈怠坠落，常行精进，破烦恼厄，摧毁四魔，出阴欲界。
So the fourth realization is vigor.And let's briefly recite this realization. The fourth realization is that laziness leads to the falling off the path. By constantly practicing diligently, one destroys the evil of afflictions and vanquishes the four kinds of Mara, thus freeing oneself from the prison of aggregates and realms.
懈怠坠入，你们没有发现其实要懈怠非常的容易，对不对？一个不小心，其实你就想说，我可能很累了，稍微休息一下，然后看看电视啊，然后最近看电视人都叫把它叫什么，追剧，是不是？昨天那种开会要讲到这个，去度假，然后怎样，本来想说要去户外走走，结果发懒啊，就在怎样度假的地方就开始追剧齁。那个心很容易齁，就这样子一个没有觉照，你就往那个方向走去了，对不对齁？你好像觉得没有关系，就一下下而已。可是这个一下下，现在有没有发现你常看手机，会说我看一下下就好了，然后发现多久过去了，大半天过去了，是不是这样子齁？那我们的懈怠是人之常情，真的是我们的习性就会让我们变成这个样子。那其实就是因为这样子的懈怠，其实我们如果没有觉照，其实它就像什么星星之火可以燎原，你这个一个不小心的这个种子种在那里，你可能你那种可以把心放在修行，放在修道上的那一份精进度，就会慢慢这样子被消磨掉，然后你会就开始会觉得说可能好像修行有没有修行，会觉得变成有点点无所谓， 那个怠惰的心就会慢慢把我们修行的想要精进的心就慢慢这样磨损掉，所以我们要很小心、哦、那我们这个觉知其实就是要告诉我们要怎么样去对治我们的懈怠心、哦、
So I don't know whether you have noticed this or not、but it's actually very easy to become lazy and fall off the path、Yesterday in one of the meetings、we talked about how people these days、because of the prevalence of cell phones whatnot, it's very easy. People sometimes if they're just a little tired or they want to take a little break、let's say they start following a particular TV series and or some of them even gave examples that oh we went on vacation wanting to do this and that but we were tired so we stay in the room and start chasing after these episodes andWithout noticing,、you became entangled in the episodes or all these、laziness. It just takes a very small instant, just a little bit. And people sometimes say they want to look at their cell phone and they say, I'll just look at it for a little bit. Without knowing,、hours have already passed before you become aware of what you have just done.So laziness is actually a default characteristics of human beings.、it's a habitual pattern that most of us have, but it's so tricky and you have to be so careful with it because every little spark, there's a saying, a little spark of fire will ignite the entire meadow, burn off the entire meadow. So laziness works exactly this way.So by being lazy even for just a little bit or being idle, you lose the opportunity to practice. And oftentimes what happens is that your vigor or your desire, aspiration to practice actually gets eaten away little by little, eroded away by your idleness. So this, and over time you start to become nonchalant about wanting to practice. It seems like cultivating becomes not as urgent of a matter. So this is an issue that we have to be very, very careful and very on top of.、and so this particular realization is talking about methods that we can use to counter or the mentality we should have to counter、the habit of being idle.
好、oh, 那佛陀教找我们的要怎么样对治懈怠、哦、怠惰其实就是告诉我们要精进。那什么才叫做精进呢、哦、其实之前我们有分享了几个句子、哦、从唯识论啊，这是我们上次讲过，那这次我们就从比如说佛一教经里面也有告诉我们什么叫做精进，我们叫等于要如细水长流、哦、滴水能穿石嘛，对不对？你相不相信？对对齁，只是时间的长短而已嘛齁。你只要能够把这份精进的心，其实师父在我们打气的时候也告诉我们，我们怎么样才真正算精进，不是用猛力说哦我要在这个一个月，这个比如说七天十天一个月我不吃不喝，然后我就是坐在那里打坐都不起坐，这叫精进吗？当然在禅期里面精进用功，你要把你的功夫养好是很棒，你的功夫练习起来是很重要的，你一定要精进。可是不是说我只是在这十天精进或者在这一个月精进，你要把这个功夫带到你的平常日常生活中，细水长流、哦、时时刻刻。所以我们说心念啊，心要时时念念系在你的方法上，这才是真正的精进，而不是说哦，我这十天我非常精进的，我打气完回来之后，我要给我自己一个 break 一个奖励，我要开始休息，这算精进吗？不是、哦、你要把功夫绵绵密密的用到你的日常生活中，时时刻刻把心系在方法，这才是真正的精进。所以你这样子的低啊，这样滴水才能够真的把你这个顽固的心的这颗顽石啊能够穿透，对不对、哦、所以细水长流、哦、才能穿石。那如果比如说像我们精进，如果说你只是十天精进，可是之后你把那个火已经起来，可是你没有继续让它那个火可以保任的话，你就不用功了，那个火是慢慢就熄灭了，一样那你这个火就没有用处了。 它只是在一时间的燃烧之后，它没有继续把你的功夫一直保任在那边的话，这也不算是真正的精进。
So the Buddha talked about how we use vigor to counter this habit of being idle or laziness. That's what we use to fight off this habitual pattern. But what is considered, what is vigor? What is real vigor? There were examples given in different sutras, such as the doctrine of the consciousness only school. And one of the analogy that's used in these sutras, as well as there's a saying that trickles of water can bore through rocks. So Shifu used this analogy during retreat to teach us that what is vigor? Vigor doesn't mean that you're pushing yourself to the edge during the 7 or 10 days of retreat. Maybe you say to yourself, I'm not going to sleep, I'm not going to waste time eating, I'm not going to get up at all during these 10 days to accomplish certain attainment. So yes, it is important to want to have this aspiration to practice hard, to set the practice in motion in this 7 or 10 days during the retreat. But true vigor actually goes beyond the retreat. You should bring this mentality into your daily practice. It's not about practicing like a tidal wave in 10 days and become lax ever after. It's about having this small stream of water over a long period of time. Your mind should constantly be on the method. So instead of you practice really hard for 10 days and after you go home, you feel like, oh, I worked so hard, I deserve a break, and you stop practicing. That is not true vigor. So a trickle of water, you use the method like trickles of water, little by little, it will bore through the stubbornness of our mind. So during the 10 days, if you practice vigorously, it's as if you had kindled a fire. But then you have to keep the fire continuing to burn. Otherwise, it will also die down if you stop practicing after the retreat.
那精进里面其实在很多的经典里面都有介绍不同的比如说给我们的很实际的方法大家很常听的就是什么四正勤对不对然后在五根五力七觉知八正道里面37道品里面有讲到很多的精进的方法然后比如说我们菩萨新菩萨道要做什么行六度对不对六度里面有一度是不是就是精进对不对要精进对不对布施持戒忍辱精进十波罗蜜里面也有那我们今天就以我们以四正勤为主要的部的一个来跟大家做介绍其实这里面其实他讲的都是什么时时你要跟法相应比如说这里面讲到四正勤我们等一下再个别拉出来讲比如说五根里面他的什么精进根他告诉我们就是一个什么其实就是告诉我们要四正勤你信诸法你相信了之后你就要能够什么能够策立自己然后鞭策自己在这正法上在你信的这些正法上能够发心然后能够精进的去把它实践出来那五根里面讲的什么精进根他讲的其实也就是什么如果能够于精进根能够被测精进的话你在诸法的实践上你就能够如实的信解那在武力的话他讲的是什么精进力他就说告诉我们他就很明白的指示说你这个精进力就能够破除我们的懈怠懒惰很清楚的那七觉知讲的是什么精进觉知讲这个说我们要能够觉了正不正行你除了要能够精进之外你还能够判别说它是正行或是不正行 那你要能够是在正行上精进用功。那如果你是在不正行上精进用功，其实你就是什么，只是会带来什么更多的烦恼。所以我们除了在精进，我们呢还能够要有智慧，能够分别说它是正行或是不正行。那八正道精进觉知其实也很清楚告诉我们，要勤修正定、哦、才是真正的精进。那真正的精进才能够带我们去入涅槃、哦、所以其实在你们如果说想要对五根、五力、七觉知、八正道，可以去看师父的37道品这本书、哦、它里面介绍的很详细。那等一下我们、哦、再以施正行这个为主来跟大家介绍精进。
So the issue of practice vigorously has been discussed in a lot of sutras,、one of which is the 37 qualities of practice, and Shifu has a book on this specifically. And in there, there are these notions of the four right exertion,five faculties, five powers, seven factors of enlightenment, as well as the Eight Noble Path, the Noble Eightfold Path. And this, the issue of vigor is also, mentioned in the six paramita and the ten paramitas. So it's a topic that is very important for our practice. And essentially, what they're all pointing to is the need for us to be constantly, our mind should be constantly on our method, on the teaching, be corresponding with it. Once you have reached a certain understanding of the Buddha Dharma, then we need to embark on vigorous practice. So for instance, in this, 37 chapters of practice, the four right exertion talks about vigor, as well as the five faculties, in which it talks about using vigor as a way to break through our patterns of idleness. In the seven factors of enlightenment, they further point to the importance of discerning between what is the right practice versus the practice that is no longer on the path. So if you want to practice vigorously, you first need to have this understanding of what is the right path versus what is not the right path, and go on the right path with your vigorous practice. As for the Noble Eightfold Path,it also talks about the need to practice with vigor, and only through the proper type of vigor then it will lead to nirvana. So if you are interested in any of these in further details, Shifu has a book, and I highly recommend it. But now we'll talk about vigor via the lens of the four right exertion in further detail.
哦，施正行其实他很清楚齁，说我们以身的恶我们要令它永断，然后未生的恶我们要令它不生起齁，那未生的善呢，我们就要练习的，我们要去长养，去培养我们的去执行，然后以身的善我们要令它增长而且能够持续。
齁。The four right exertion states this.So you need to exert vigor to abandon the unwholesome states that have already arisen. And there's also the exertion of preventing unwholesome states to arise. The third kind of exertion is exertion to the rising of wholesome state. You want to nurture it and make it grow. And the fourth one is sustaining and increasing the wholesome state that has already arisen.So these are the four right exertions.
那什么？怎么样去？怎么样去把我们 以身的恶断除，然后未生的恶能够不生。
So how do we go about exactly? What do we do to abandon all the unwholesome dharma that has already arisen and to prevent the unwholesome states from arising? What do we do exactly?
We need to know what is evil, right? 我们先要认清楚到底这个恶指的是什么，哦，就是烦恼嘛，哦，对不对？那烦恼有哪些烦恼
？So to do so, we first have to know what is considered unwholesome. Unwholesomeness can be equated with vexations. So what kind of things will lead to vexation?
其实他这里告他那这个觉知，他也很清楚的告诉我们说，我们做我们行经性的这件事情，就是要告诉我们什么？要破烦恼恶，对，要摧毁四魔，对不对？摧伏四魔，然后能够帮助我们出什么因戒欲，对不对？哈，所以其实他的精进告诉我们，所以我们这里说精进叫我们要做这四件事情，那我们到底要做这些事情？要怎么开始做？我们先要认知我们是做这件事情的目的在做什么。那很根本的，他就告诉我们要破烦恼恶。那你们我们在练习的时候，到底有没有认清楚？对我们来讲，什么是烦恼？哦，烦恼怎么产生的？哦，我们才能知道说要怎么样去对治嘛。我们找到那个根啊，我们才知道怎么样去对根本的去。拔除那个烦恼，否则我们如果不知道烦恼，你也不知道说我要去关照，我要去修正它，对不对？那烦恼到底从哪里来？啊，烦恼到底从哪里来？这边哈，我先跳一下哈，破烦恼恶，我们的烦恼其实讲到有六根本烦恼。那六根本烦恼讲的是贪嗔痴慢疑不正见，我们要能够认知我们的烦恼是从这些我们的愚昧无知不清楚，然后让我们产生执着，所以最根本的我们想三毒，这是把它我们更如果更把它简化，我们平常讲三毒嘛，对不对？贪嗔痴，对不对？哈，你们平常有没有看到自己的贪？有没有看到自己的嗔？有没有看到自己的痴？这很重要。如果你看不到，你也没办法去断它，对不对？你也没办法去让它不生起，对不对？好，所以我们要先跟认清到，而且要认知到、觉知到我们的烦恼到底在哪里。如果你不没有办法觉知到，你根本也无法做起。
So to practice vigorously, practice what? So it's important to know what it is that exactly we are practicing. Basically, we are practicing to break away from the vileness of vexations, to break free from the four maras or break free from the five skandhas.But to break free from vexations, we have to first know what is vexation? How does it arise? What is the source of our vexations? And how do we actually go about to eradicate these vexations? Without knowing clearly what caused your vexations, it will be very hard to break free from it. So, exactly where are these vexations from?We're going to skip ahead a little bit to a couple slides down. And it states here that vexation came from six root afflictions, which are attachment, aversion, ignorance, pride, doubt, and wrong views. So we have to be very clear about these are the sources of vexations. If we are not clear about them, then we become attached to these afflictions. And, these three afflictions can also be boiled down to the three poison, which we talk about very often, the three poison of greed, anger, and ignorance. So from a day-to-day basis, do you see the three poison working in your life? Do you see it arising? If you don't even see it coming up in your daily interactions, then it will be very hard to talk about how to cut off vexation because you don't even see how it's coming up, and so there will be no way to stop it. So you have to first understand where your vexations are coming from.
那当我们看到我们有贪啊，有嗔啊，有痴啊，有慢啊，有疑的这些行为，它都已经是在末端了，哦，因为它已经表现出来了。所以其实我们其实修行最主要是什么？在照顾我们的心。所以意念上的觉照是更重要的。所以意念上的根起才是根本。那你看到你的身口这些行为到照做都已经算是末端了。那我们当我们的觉照力还不够清楚，我们从末端开始修正也是很蛮重要的，也是有帮助。好，是慢慢的，你要拉回到，当你的意念起来，你的念头起来的时候，你马上能够觉照它，然后马上从那里去开始修正。好，所以我们的贪嗔痴慢疑，贪嗔痴更是根本嘛。好，那主要这贪嗔痴是意念起了之后才会照做嘛，对不对？好，所以我们如果能够从意念开始下手的话。我们讲十二业最主要，我们比如说我们什么，我们的五戒啊，杀盗淫妄什么，还有什么九，那我们的身还可以，我们的意，我们的口还可以分成四嘛，四个什么七欲两舌二口，还有另外一个是什么妄语，对不对？哈，我们如果这十业啊，身口意三业，又把它分成。身三口四意三，对不对？好，这十业能够关照的话，我们从这十业的所谓的恶的造作，能慢慢去把它修成变成是善的造作的话，其实烦恼啊，就是我们生死流转的根本之因。好，我们要能够想要脱离，想要出离生死的流转，我们一定要从我们的烦恼开始下手。哦，所以我们这里说破烦恼恶，那要怎么样去破烦恼恶？哦，除了第一个，我们认知我们的烦恼在哪里之外，你要用法，哦，把我们的从跟恶法、跟烦恼法相应的心，慢慢转到是什么善念正法的心相应之外呢？慢慢的，我们从那里从心开始照顾起。其实我上次在梁皇的时候，我很记得我们晚上不是国兴法师有开示分享嘛，吼，法师常常就讲到说，外在一切现象都是我们自己的东西，对不对？那我那时候就起说，那如果都是在对峙我们自己的东西，那佛菩萨，我记得我那时候问了一个问题，那如果佛菩萨他都已经是悟道的时候，他对峙的不是，应该不是说他对峙，他呈现外在的那些现象，为什么佛菩萨还需要去有外在的这些现象，他要去他去互动，我这样讲哈，他要去互动。那我听了之后，我自己一直在思维这个东西哈。当我们还没有到达佛菩萨的程度的时候，如果外在所有的东西都是我们的东西，那这些东西是要它的呈现，它有什么样的目的？它的。为什么我们要去对为什么我们要去跟我们自己心的这些东西互动？好，那我自己目前的理解哈，或者甚至自己目前的体会是， 其实它这些都是我们自己的因缘造作来的嘛，对不对？我们过去的因缘造作呈现的因缘果报，那这些因缘呈现在我们自己的我们的意识，我们的八识田中呈现出来，给我们自己的用意是在帮助我们修正我们还不足的地方，我们跟佛菩萨相处相比之下，我们还不足还不圆满的地方、哦、所以不管它是感觉是如意的呈现或是不如意的呈现，它都是你的东西，可是它都是你还没有具足圆满的东西。所以当我们比如说即使是我们看到心，我们觉得说我们呈现的是恶法，可是它恶法呈现出来的有它的目的，它的目的就是告诉什么，你要在这里下功夫，你要如何把从恶转到善之外，除了转到善之外，甚至你要连这个所谓的善恶你要能够放下，因为它都是你的东西。所以我觉得这还蛮难理解的啦，齁。可是我目前的体会是这样，我觉得哦，其实这对我来讲其实是蛮大的一个鼓舞，齁、哦。因为我觉得这都是我的东西，可是对我自己来讲，我要把我自己提升到什么样的程度，这很重要。
So, with regard to seeing our own patterns in daily life, such as the manifestations of the three poisons, greed, anger, and delusion, usually when we observe them percolating into our behaviors, it's already at the end of the cycle, and we are not really seeing the root of it. And after all, when we talk about practice, cultivation, practice what? Cultivate what? It's the mind that we have to watch out, we're working on. That's what we're working on. So it's great that when you're able to become aware and observe the operation of these three poisons in our behaviors, but it's even more important to go to the root, to sharpen our own awareness, to start to see them arising in our own mind, and then make changes from there. So we oftentimes we talk about how vexation is the cause, the root cause of these endless cycles of life and death. And so what we need to break away from the cycle then is to reduce and eradicate our vexations. The phrase that we need to break away from the evils of vexations is pointing to the importance for us to turn our own mindset to correspond with the right teaching and try to do it, be mindful and correspond with the teaching constantly instead of you do it one day and not doing it the other day. And so I've been mulling over these for a long time. And during the Emperor Liang repentance ceremony in the evening, Guo Xing Fa Shi gave his teaching. And for many of you who are familiar with his teaching, you know that he often talks about how everything that we encounter, all phenomena, are created by the mind. They are manifestations of the mind. Well, so after hearing this, and I thought about it, and a question came up in my mind that then if these are mere manifestations of the mind, then why do Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are still interacting with these external phenomena? And why do they manifest at all? And why interact with them? If they are created by mind, then what's the point of interacting with all these phenomena? And so I thought about this longer, and one of the understanding that I came to is that these phenomena are created by the mind, but it's also the result of our past karma and conditions. And the fact that they arise are sort of ways to show us, to illuminate to us that of our own imperfection, the distance we are from the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So whenever we see something unfavorable that arises, whether in our daily life or in our own mind, it shows us what it is that we still need to work on. So if something appears to be unfavorable, it shows that we need to try to change the negative to the positive. And furthermore, eventually we need to let it go altogether. So that is my current understanding of the phenomenons created by the mind, but we're interacting with it, and their manifestation to me at this point is that they are lessons and ways to teach us what is it that we still have to work on. And this understanding to me is actually very positive. It helps me to see that the unfavorables are actually lessons for us to learn.
所以即使我们在学习要怎么破除烦恼恶法的时候，其实我觉得蛮好的一个提醒，就是我们无时无刻就是要提醒我们，即使我们在精进用功，即使我们还是在有相用功的阶段的时候，我们这些都一定要是跟空慧相相应的。好，所以其实烦恼恶法它也是空的。好，可是当我们还没有到那个阶段的时候，我们还是就是要对治它。好，我们还是要对治它。所以这里精进的这一个觉知告诉我们，就是我们要触碰。要破烦恼恶法，然后我们要能够摧伏四魔，然后我们才能够出阴狱，阴界狱、哦、所以这边的摧伏四魔要讲的是四魔是哪四魔、哦、有烦恼魔，我们常起烦恼嘛、哦、然后有印魔，然后有生死魔、哦、还有天魔，那 这几个魔的为什么有这几种魔？这几种魔 有什么不一样？哦、其实我们起烦恼，我们其实你说这个魔的意思，真的就是一个我们讲的这有形的魔吗？不是，其实它魔它的其实 更直接 的解释或者是理解、哦、你可以说它其实就是危害的意思，它就是危害我们法身慧命的一个恶法、哦、然后让我们能就是沦落到生死的苦海里面，所以这个魔其实它是害的意思、哦、危害到我们的法身慧命、哦、那烦恼魔讲的就是什么，我们贪嗔痴烦恼这几个，那五蕴魔就是什么，讲的就是我们五蕴嘛，五蕴是哪五蕴，色受想行识，我们身心的组合构成无非就是这五蕴，对不对？外在环境也是，对不对？色法、哦、那因为我们执着我们的身心是实有的，所以我们就什么很苦，对不对、哦、我们不想死啊，然后执着外在这些，即使我们知道是短暂的存在，我们还是非常的执着不肯放下，对不对、哦、就产生从这里，因为认知到五蕴执着它的存在，我们就会产生什么贪嗔痴，对不对、哦、然后生死魔是因为什么，我们最放不下最恐惧的事情就是什么，生死这件事情，对不对、哦、这也是国兴法师在梁皇里面他分享他一个例子，有天晚上他不是说他分享他在身上找到一只什么 ticks，而且好像已经被咬住了，对不对？那大家被 tick 咬住的第一个反应是什么？对，很害怕，怕我会不会因为这样得 Lyme disease， 然后就会怎样，很痛苦，生病，甚至会死亡，也会危害到生命，对不对？还记得国兴法师当下他跟我们分享，他要我们练习的是要放下什么心？恐惧心。我们因为恐惧，所以我们就起烦恼，我们不想我们的身心受到威胁受到危害、哦、所以我们常常很大的恐惧心，当你有很大的恐惧心的时候，你就会想办法去做很多事情来对抗外在环境的这些现象，那这些这样子的一个对应外在环境现象，你造的就是什么恶业，对不对、哦、所以生死是很根本的， 所以话头叫我们要参生死嘛，哈、哦，要生死心。那贴膜是什么？天魔讲的，其实天魔他讲的是正在正还是欲界里面的一个，我们欲界有很多天嘛，那天魔来自于欲界的第六天啊，叫波旬啊，他认为说我们这些凡夫众生都是他的弟子，当有人想要能够成道，想要出离他的掌控的时候，他就会害怕大家我来干扰你的修行啊，好，就是他就来阻止你能够精进用功哈，让你不要能够脱。他不想要失去他的所有掌控的弟子嘛，哈，是这样哈，他就会来危害你，哈。所以我们讲到的这个四魔，哈，可是这些四魔是不是还是一样是，如果照我们讲，一切唯心造，这还是你自己心里的造作出来的嘛，哈。可是当你的心还是有执着，还是在这些向上里面是去没办法放下的时候，这些都还是实实在在的在那里，哈。在我们的修行上，它是我们一个要去用功的着力点、哦、
So we talk about all these the need to break shatter the negative dharma or negative states. We're still talking about vexations at the level of forms. We're not talking about a non-dualistic kind of mindset. So while we are working to counter, to break free from all these vexations, it's still very important to keep in the back of our mind the understandings of emptiness, wisdom. Yes, we are not there yet, so we have to work on the forms, but it's important to keep that, the ultimate emptiness in our own head.In our mind. And so, breaking away from, vexations, one of the things that's talked about here is the four different types of maras that we're trying to break away from. What are these four different types of maras? The mara of affliction, the mara of five aggregates, the mara of death, as well as the mara of God.When you think about it, are they real or are they kind of metaphorical? So actually another interpretation of these four different maras is that they are referring to the unwholesome dharmas or anything that hinders and harms our practice. So those are called the so-called maras. So the first one, the mara of affliction, is basically referring to the three poisons of ignorance, anger, and delusions.And greed. As for the mara of five aggregates, five skanda, it's referring to our attachment. The five skandas are form, sensations, perception, volitions, and consciousness. Our attachment to them, falsely believing that our mind or our body actually exist and that we're attached to them. And it's this attachment that's causing the vexation, giving rise to the three poisons. As for the mara of death,It's something that most of us are most fearful of. Guo Xing Fa Shi also shared one of his examples during the Emperor Liang repentance ceremony. He said, while he was at the DDRC, one day he actually found a tick on his body. And what is usually our immediate reaction when we find a tick? And it seems like the tick actually had latched on already. So he was actually bitten. So for most of us, the first reaction would be fear and strings of fears. Oh, I'm bitten. Is this going to lead to Lyme disease? Is my health or even my life is going to be threatened? So all these fears come up. And Guo Xing Fa Shi shared his personal experience, and he reminds us the focus of our practice in this kind of situation is to let go of the thought of fear, let go of the fearful mind. And because of fear, oftentimes we start engaging in all sorts of activities to counter this fear, to fight it off or to try to mitigate it. Yet this process of acting out of fear actually...tend to create more negative karma and lead us down the wrong path. So it's important to just let go of this fear. Now turning on to the Mara of God, what is this referring to? Over here it's we're still talking about the desire realms, and this is referring to the God that is on the sixth heaven of desire realm, that he is the one that he or she is, this being believes that all of us are his subject. So if we practice vigorously, then we are actually going to break away from this desire realm, and we will no longer be subject. So when we are practicing vigorously, the Mara of gods can come in to interfere with our practice in order to keep their stronghold on us so that we don't break away from the desire realm. So these four Maras, after all, like I said earlier, it's important to still remember the wisdom of emptiness. These are all still created by the mind. Yet, because our realization is not there yet, we are still attached to a lot of the things. So we have to work on them little by little, whatever that's unfavorable, treat them as lessons that we still have to learn, and gradually break away from these vexations.
好，所以我们精进呢，我们就是要能够破烦恼恶，能够摧毁四魔，哦，那这样子我们就能够出阴欲界。阴欲界指的就是我们的五蕴身心所构造的世界，哦，比如说我们说五蕴什么五蕴十八界，对不对？哦，那我们能如果说能够精进用功，那刚刚告诉我们，哦，精进 有很多不同的方法，不同的 approach，哦，不同的着力的方式。那这里有一个，哦，我觉得这三个这个精进的分法，哦，这把它这样子解说 的解释方法我觉得蛮好，而且它跟你们看到这三种精进方法你想到的是什么？
So there are different ways to approach practice vigorously. And again, the point of practicing vigorously is to break away from the realms of skandhas. And so over here, there are actually three very concrete methods that's laid out here that I found. So when you look at them, what comes to your mind?
对，我一直刚刚想说，哦，这其实就是讲菩萨戒的三句境界。为什么我要特别把这个拿出来？因为我们是什么修大乘法门的嘛，哈，菩萨戒是我们大乘菩萨佛弟子非常重要的一个什么一个指导方向，我觉得，哈，因为我们修行不是只是为了我们自己，其实刚刚前面讲的这几个告诉我们要怎么样破烦恼啊，破四魔啊，然后从烦恼出离，这告诉我们怎么精进用功，它都是在还停留在什么为我们自我的解脱烦恼，哦，那算不算精进？是，对，哦，是精进。可是在我们自己精进的同时，我们也要能够什么想到众生。所以他第一个精进披甲精进告诉我们要破烦恼恶。为什么叫做披甲？以前人打仗是怎样？要披那个很重的那个盔甲嘛，对不对？啊，为什么他用这样子的譬喻？其实烦恼就是像什么，就像我们的敌人，我们的怨贼，哈，哦，我们要去跟我们的怨贼打仗。其实他不是真的要去打，他只是告诉我们，我们要像打仗的那种精进勇猛的心，要去看到对峙，然后去消融我们的烦恼心。然后要怎么样消融？除了消融我们烦恼心之外，我们要能够再更进一步，因为我们消融烦恼心都还算是我们的被动，我们要这样在主动之里面往上提升一层，我们要去修善法，哦，那披甲精进其实就是如果对应到菩萨这些讲的是什么？止一切恶，对，没错。然后摄善法界是什么？我们勤修善法嘛，我们要从修行这些善法里面去培养我们的福德因缘，我们的福德因缘具足了，我们才能够真的是什么，才能够真正的完成我们的佛道啊，对不对？那这对应的菩萨戒就是什么？修一切善法，对不对？那最后一个什么？ 第一切中饶益有情，对不对？哦，在我们自己止恶修善的过程里面，我们带着众生一起止恶修善，修善走向成佛之道，这很重要啊！这也才是我们大圣佛法真正精进的用功。
So when you look at these three kinds of diligence or rigor, what comes to your mind? Some people said it's the Bodhisattva precepts. Yes, it is the Bodhisattva precepts. All the vexations that we talked about earlier as ways to eradicate them are very important because they help ourselves break away from the vexations. Yet, it is still focusing on the cultivation of the self. But what we practice, we are practicing Mahayana Buddhism, that our goal is not only to improve ourselves, to benefit ourselves, but also to benefit all sentient beings. So it's important to keep that aspect in mind as well. So the first one of the armor of intention, using diligence to cut off afflictions and evil dharma, is a way to fight off our own enemies, and it's talking about the mentality we should have. It's as if we are in a war, so we have to fight it off with great vigor. But that is still considered passive. So to cut off vexations in a more proactive way then will be the second level, to practice wholesome acts. And to nurture, to grow our virtues, merit, and wholesome conditions, because that's what enable us to continue on, as well as will eventually lead to the completion of Buddhahood. And that corresponds with the second aspect of the Bodhisattva precept of accumulating all dharma that is wholesome, practicing all dharma that is wholesome. And then do not forget the third aspect. Because we're practicing Mahayana Buddhism, it's important to benefit all sentient beings. So while we engage rigorously in our own practice, we should also bring other people or other sentient beings along and enable their happiness and peace as well. So that is the third part, diligence of joyfully serving sentient beings. Practice diligence to benefit all, oneself as well as others.
哦，这里跟大家分享，师父哈也曾告诉我们说，师父一直说他是一个凡夫身，对不对？哈，可是他跟我们大家不一样的地方是什么？他说，如果说我有什么大家跟大家不一样的地方，就是我的悲心特盛，是不是这样？悲心，他说：“我从来不会为我自己想要为我自己做什么。”哦，所以师父说，他遇到对方，他首先是要想到说，我可以为对方给对方什么样的利益，所以他不会想说我要为我自己做什么。哦，上。六祖坛经的时候，国行法师也分享，是上六祖坛经的时候，师父生病真的很严重的时候，我们不是在台湾发起说要念多少遍的大悲咒，哦，来祈福为师父祝福吗？然后有法师就建议师父你要不要自己念，效果可能比较好一点，对哈，哦？然后师父的回答就是什么？我不会为自己求，哦。这就是师父跟我们不一样的地方。我们自己现在用功，可能都还先求自己，对不对？哈，啊，自己能够，不管是说我自己的身体健康，我一切顺利，甚至是我的修行可以怎样，可以更好，更，可是都还是先为，即使你有为别人求，可能你这个别人里面都还包括有自己在里面，对不对？哈，可是师父说他跟我们不一样的地方，就是他不会自己求，他的悲心特深。所以师父真正精进的用功，他的用功点是在什么？众生身上。哦，我觉得这一点是我们非常非常值得 去学习的。
I want to share a story of 师父 with you. 师父, as you know, oftentimes says that I am but an ordinary person. While he kept emphasizing that, but he is to us quite extraordinary. But what is different? What made him different? 师父 did say, if there's anything that's different, then that will be my compassionate vows.I never think of myself, and I'm always constantly thinking of what I can do for others. What is it that I can do to benefit others? And Guoxin Fa Shi also shared the story of Shi Fu during one of the retreats or series of lectures that he gave. And he said when Shi Fu was getting quite sick before he passed away, there was a...people started a campaign, a sort of a movement in Taiwan, asking his disciples to recite Great Compassion Mantra to pray for his health. So one of his disciples said to Shifu, Shifu, why won't you recite the mantra yourself? I think it will be more direct and even more beneficial had you recite and pray for your own health. And Shifu's reply to this disciple is,I never pray anything for myself. I never pray anything for myself. And so when we think about that more deeply, oftentimes when we recite or practice or pray or whatnot, or dedicate something to a cause, oftentimes the sense of self is still entangled in it. Oftentimes we pray for our own health,or that things go smoothly, or we pray that our practice we will practice with great vigor, etc. But all of these, there's still a sense of self in it. Even if we pray for others, the self still comes in. Yes, Shifu, when he says, perhaps I'm only different because my compassion vow is stronger than others, thatHe had never prayed for himself. And so his entire focus is on how to benefit sentient beings. So I think this is a very important lesson for us and something that's worth us mulling over for a long time.
好，那我们精进就先讲到这里。我们要接下来下一个觉知，讲第五觉知。好，是第五觉知讲的是什么？在精进之后呢，精进的目的，然后之后我们要的修行齁，要怎么这个目标和这个心态这个态度齁，是要怎么样去设定齁，就是我们的心态应该是要怎么样齁。他第五觉知讲的就是于此生时，菩萨常念广学多闻，增长智慧，成就辩才，教化一切众生，悉以达乐。其实这个主要，其实我觉得这个讲的其实也就是什么，我们大圣佛弟子应该要有的一个什么，对修行的一个主要的根本的态度，你要能够把持。他这边的广学多闻，增长智慧，是不是还是？其实他讲的就是自利利他，对不对？你广学多闻，增长智慧，是在自己身上，是利益自己。可是你要能够透过你自己利益长养成长了之后，你要能够成就辩才。为什么要去成就辩才？你成就辩才的目的是你要能够去什么？对，嘿，上求佛道。这个上求佛道都还是为自己求，对不对？那你上求佛道同时，你一定是要能够下化众生，能够教化一切，然后吸引大乐，让他们能够，因为修行不是只是为了解脱，你要能够真正的解脱，你是不能少了什么下化众生这一个，如果你没有下化众生，你是不可能完全解脱的。OK， 不能是真正的完全解脱。从大圣佛法的角度来讲，那也告诉众生说，你要怎么让真正的能够 我们现在这里的西以大乐，我们等一下向会讲说，我们其实讲的更白话一些，我们修行的目的是什么？我们要能够离苦得乐啊，那这个乐什么才是乐？哦，等一下我们会讲到。
So we'll end the discussion of vigor right here and move on to the fifth realization. The fifth realization is focusing on the development of wisdom. And it's basically a guide to us, telling us how to, what kind of mindset, what kind of attitude we should have when it comes to practice.And the text states this, the fifth realization is the awareness that ignorance is the cause of the endless round of birth and death. Therefore, bodhisattvas always remember to listen and learn in order to develop their own understanding and eloquence. This enables them to educate living beings and bring them to the realm of great joy. This is exactly pointing to the kind of attitude we should have as Mahayana Buddhist practitioners, that not only are we helping ourselves, benefiting ourselves by eradicating the vexations, but we also simultaneously need to benefit sentient beings. And through the growing, the nurturing, development of oneself's virtues and merit, then we can better benefit other sentient beings.So the phrase that we hear often is that we beseech the Buddha Dharma from above, and that aspect is still focusing on the self, that we are learning Buddha Dharma ourselves. And then the other end, the other half of that verse is then downwardly we benefit all sentient beings. So these are the two aspects of the same coin. So,Because after all, the point of our practice is for liberation. But true liberation goes beyond liberating only oneself and oneself breaking away from vexations. Without helping other people to reach liberation and benefiting them, it will be impossible to reach true liberation of the mind. And as to the last part, that...bring sentient beings to the realm of great joy. What is this joy? We're going to now talk about the aspect of joy.
哦，所以他第一个讲的愚痴生死，他很清楚的点出来说，我们会为什么还会在这个生死苦恼里苦海里面，就是因为我们愚痴。那愚痴，我们是，你们又觉得说你的愚痴。你没有觉照到其实我们其实人哦，然后我们真的是很愚痴，这个愚痴不是讲平常我们讲说你笨笨的那种而已哦，我们是真的很笨啊，对不对齁、哦、你聪明的人你觉得你很聪明，可是其实聪明的人会不会愚痴？对，这里我们讲的愚痴齁、哦、不是讲的说哦你世间的那种愚痴或是愚笨齁、哦，其实他告诉我们，就是点出来，就是我们因为我们的无明，我们不能看到实法啦，我们看到的都还是什么有漏法，对不对？所以佛陀他悟道的时候，就是告诉我们，我们的妄想执着，那我们这个愚痴，其实就是告诉我们的妄想执着，我们的无明，我们把一切法执为实有、哦、所以在这个一切的现象里面，我们去贪嗔痴慢疑，所以我们就从在这个轮回里面不断的流转、哦、不断的受苦、哦、所以这才是愚痴、哦、这就是这里面要告诉我们的愚痴、哦、那我们如果那要怎么样能够跳脱这个愚痴的生死苦海呢？哦，我们就要了解哦，我们就像刚刚我分享的，国兴法师说，一切都是我们的东西，而、啊、这些东西也是因缘和合的，对不对？ 也是因缘和合的。比如说我为什么会呈现在这里，在现在这个空间里面跟大家分享佛法，那为什么我是只有这些人都是我们的因，那你们也都是我的东西，那为什么会是我的东西，是因为我自己过去跟这些东这些所有现象的业因，所以它才会呈现在我的业里面，对不对？我觉得这很有趣。那为什么我要跟你们这些呈现出来这些现象有这样的业因缘在里面？一定有原因的，对不对？为什么不跟其他人有这样子的因缘？那如果我们可以理解，像因缘啊，因果，它虽然说是非常基础、非常简单的一个观念，好像你讲的你都懂了。可是其实因缘甚深，我们是不是真的了解因缘法？老实讲，其实没有。我记得我以前跟大家分享，如果你真的了解因缘法，你不会生气，对不对？你生气是在跟谁生气？其实是跟你自己生气，对不对？你在气你自己，为什么？你在气你自己的东西，你不是气对方。也不是气那个现象，只是在跟你自己生气，对不对？那我们愚痴就是因为我们不明白这些实法真正的道理，所以我们颠倒法里面在打转呢、所以我们妄想执着就这样子让我们一直在受苦啊，很辛苦。所以他告诉我们说，我们要能够从愚痴生死里面觉悟出来，我们叫常这个菩他这里讲菩萨常念啊，广学多闻，增长智慧，其实就是我们这样广学多闻，增长智慧。其实前面几个觉知，四个觉知都告诉我们要怎么样，其实他给我们很多方法，要怎么从我们这个愚痴生死苦海里面跳脱出来了。那他这里在特别的告诉我们说，我们除了要在自力方面、自我解脱方面之外呢，其实这个觉知主要告诉我们，我们愚痴生死能够解脱了之外，我们做一位菩萨行者，我们要可以怎么做？所以，可是前面。这一句话只是在告诉我们，更重点的重复的提醒我们说，在愚痴生死里面是很苦的。那我们脱离出来解脱了之后，我们要能够真正的完全的解脱，真的完全的跳脱生死苦海这件事情之外，他告诉我们作为一个菩萨行者要怎么做。
So we are in our day to day, we are entangled in delusions, ignorance, and which leads to this cycle of life and death. Are we aware of it? Are we aware of how ignorant and deluded that we are? Over here, the word, Chinese character 愚痴, is not referring to the conventional colloquial sense that people talk about one being stupid.Or one is slow. It's not referring to that. It's referring to the delusions, the ignorance that we have, our inability to break away from our delusion to see the truth, the real Dharma, the true Dharma. And this is when Buddha became enlightened, this is what he realized, that because of these delusions and wandering thoughts and attachments that we have,We take Dharma, all sorts of phenomena in the world as real. And consequently, we're attached to them. And then furthermore, because our attachment to these phenomena, then we create more negative karma, which then made us trapped us in this cycle of life and death. So exactly how do we liberate from such ignorance and suffering?These are actually all karma and causes that is created by our own mind. For instance, I'm here giving a teaching with in front of you, this audience, you are actually all part of my past karma, and that is why you have manifested and I'm interacting with you. So the issues of karma, the cause and conditions as and cause and effect, is all encapsulated in this, you know, me here, sitting here giving the talk. And the concept of cause and effect is actually very, very profound. It may appear to be simple, and we all think that we have understood it, but actually we haven't. Have we truly understood the profoundness or the significance of cause and effect? Whenever situation you encounter, you will no longer become angry because you will understand that it's all part of the cause and effect. You will no longer be angry at a person or something that had happened or a phenomenon. You will know that there's a reason to everything, as well as your own reactions. And so, because we don't understand, we don't understand how cause and effect work. And also, we are deluded and not knowing that all the phenomena that we encounter are fundamentally empty. So we continue to be entangled. It's like we're chasing our own tails, focusing on our own delusions and attaching to what is impermanent and what is delusional. So how do we escape? How do we get out of this sea of suffering? The earlier four realizations we discussed are concrete methods that will help us practice to get away from all these suffering. But over here, this fifth realization is telling us, is reminding us that in addition to those four, as practitioners on the path of bodhisattvas and Buddha, we need to keep something else in mind, which is the importance of benefiting all sentient beings.
所以这里告诉我们解脱生死，我们要明白，真正的明白佛的道理，然后去实践它。那从这里的实践，菩萨行者要怎么做？广学多闻。那广学多闻的目的是为什么？能够增长智慧。那这个智慧除了帮助自己能够自我解脱之外，也能够怎样帮助众生？那你要帮助众生，你要怎么样帮助众生？你一定要有什么善巧方便的能力，对不对？那你要能够成就辩才，这里讲了成就辩才，你才能够教化一切众生，然后才可以把真正所谓的大乐，这里讲的大乐就是什么无上菩提的法乐，才能够介绍给众生，然后让他们真正愿意也尝试走上修行的道路，体验，然后体验修行的好，然后慢慢的真正的，能够愿意走上修行道路。所以这里所谓的善巧方便，在运顺导师的成佛之道里面有一个讲到什么，要先以什么欲勾牵，对不对？要先给糖果啦，把它勾引进来。小朋友，你要他现在你要诱那个什么引导小朋友去做一件事情，你要先告诉他说，哇，这个好棒哦，然后会这样，他有兴趣的时候他才愿意来，对不对？才愿意去做这件事情。我们众生都一样，我们就是小朋友，对不对？所以我们才叫我们称我们是什么，我们是婴儿菩萨，师父讲的，对不对？我们就跟着根本像小 baby 一样，你要先哄他，安抚他，让他愿意这样做，先给点好处，对不对？这就讲的就是你要能够真正的善巧方便，还能够引导他到正道上，这需要有智慧的，对不对？所以我们在成就增长我们自己的智慧之外呢，我们其实同时也要我们就像我们讲，我们要我们自己要有什么根本智，要证得了之后，我们还要能够成就我们的什么方便智， 我们才能去帮助众生嘛，对不对？齁。
So, over here, this realization is talking about, in order for us to benefit all sentient beings, it's very important to continue to listen to Dharma and learn, and in order to further develop our own understanding and eloquence. And the purpose of developing our eloquence and understanding and increasing wisdom is ultimately to benefit sentient beings. So, to help sentient beings, to help transform them, we need expedient means. Using through expedient means, then we'll hopefully transform and at least ignite their interest in wanting to practice, and gradually guide them onto the path of this great joy, the bliss of Dharma, and hopefully to encourage sentient beings through these expedient means to want to practice and experience the joy of Dharma themselves. And Master Ying Shun in his book had said, one has talked about these expedient means, and in order to attract people to want to practice, initially it's important to attract them through means or things that interest them, that may not be that ultimate, maybe very temporary, but still things of interest. Just like with little kids, when you want to tell them to do something, then sometimes you kind of bribe them with candy or describe the end goal of how marvelous it's going to be, how fun it's going to be, as a way to attract them, get them to do something. And you may think that's only for kids, but in fact, it's actually for us as well. Shifu, in his talks, he called us baby bodhisattvas. We're little babies that also needs to be attracted onto the path of practice. So these expedient means include painting a picture to show that the benefit of practice, as well as helping people to settle and calm their minds. These are all expedient means, and to attract people, and then eventually sentient beings will want to practice and learn. And in order to exercise these expedient means, then it requires wisdom. So we need to first develop our own wisdom. In terms of self, we need to develop this fundamental wisdom of seeing emptiness. And then when it comes to helping sentient beings, then we need to develop the expedient wisdom of various ways of reaching out to help sentient beings practice and learn.
那通常我们在佛经里面都可以看到，我们把智慧比喻成什么？光明，对不对？比喻灯，所以我们在供灯的时候是为了要怎样？对，给众生，我们希望我们能够有智慧，对不对？所以希望供灯的我们可能。我们在供灯的同时，我们的愿是什么？希望我们可能下辈子要有智慧一点，对不对？对不对？好，那我们的愚痴其实就是让我们常年处于在什么暗室里面，所以其实很多经典里面有把用暗室啊，用光明来比喻我们的愚痴，还有我们的智慧，然后光明。怎么样跟黑暗他们之间的关系是什么？你在黑暗中齁，你什么都看不到，对不对？齁，那你现在很简单吧，你的开关一打开，你是就什么东西几乎都可以看清楚了，对不对？哦，那还不一定呢，齁，现在有的灯光很暗哦，还可以调 dim light， 对不对？那你愿意把你自己的光明打开到什么样的程度，齁，还要看看自己的功夫嘛，对不对？齁，你可以把自己心中那个灯，齁，可以打开到多亮，齁，还愿意可以去除了照亮自己之外，你还可以照亮到别人嘛，齁。可是灯一定能够破暗的， 对不对？你只要把灯打开，那个光就可以把你原本看不到的东西看到了，把原本你看不到的烦恼觉照到了。那你觉照到你的烦恼，怎样？你就可以真正的开始修行，对不对？齁，所以那这里的灯不是只是破自己心中的那个黑暗那个暗示而已哦，所以他还比喻到说，我们要能够破什么，也是能够把这把光能够去点亮其他众生他心中的那一个灯，然后让他们也能够去齁，打开他心中的那一把那一盏灯，然后照破自己的烦恼。哦，所以这个灯的比喻，它也比喻是我们的能够发起我们的菩提之心，打开打亮我们的菩提之心。这个菩提之心是为了度什么一切众生？那其实我们也是众生之一嘛，哦，对不对？哦，所以在华严经里面，他也讲到，哦，他讲得更清楚，哦，说譬如一灯入于暗室，百千年暗，悉能破尽。哦，那我们的菩提心呢？菩提心灯亦复如是。入于众生心事之内，百千万亿不能缩，不可缩结诸业烦恼种种暗障，悉能除尽，所以故称为灯。嗯，所以这个灯的比喻，我们愿意把我们心中那一盏灯打开，现在它还是暗的，甚至你还找不到开关啊，哦，对不对？哈，哦，不知道怎么样去开我们心中那盏灯，那我们透过种种的听闻佛法，然后修正我们的观念。其实听闻佛法主要是要修正我们的什么？颠倒之见。那当你的颠倒之见慢慢的一点灯光慢慢的开始打开之后，你还可以照亮你心中所有的现象，然后你怎么知道开始要去清它？哦，所以否则你看不到你心中该清的东西。对，你的心，你就像即使你打开灯了，我们有没有看到一个房间里面很久没有整理的时候，那是雾蒙蒙的，对不对？那是照不清楚的，所以你还是要能够把你的灯，哦，照住你光明的那个东西要先清干净。哦，那这都还是有效的做法，可是一定是要从这里开始的。
So oftentimes in the sutra, wisdom, the analogy used to discuss wisdom is often light or a lamp. We need to light up this light of ours to bring forth wisdom. So oftentimes when we have the ceremony of offering the light, offering light or lamp to the Buddha, is a prayer to light up our own inner wisdom. And another analogy, on the other hand, is to talk about delusion and ignorance is, in the sutra, they often use the analogy of dark room. So what is this relationship between light and a dark room? That in the dark room, that we cannot see anything, but once, as soon as you turn on the light, and these days it seems to be even more convenient that we just flick on the switch, then the room will light up and all the darkness will be dispelled. And so once the light is turned on, then we become aware, we actually get to see our own vexations. And only from that point on can we really embark on real practice of eradicating these vexations. Otherwise, have we been in a dark room all this time, not really knowing what the source of vexations are or what our vexations are, then it's kind of moot to talk about getting rid of vexations because we don't even know what they are. And this analogy of light also does not only apply to self, it also applies to others. It's to light up this mind of Bodhi so that we can help all sentient beings. And all sentient beings actually encapsulates not just some other people, but we ourselves are included. So there is a quote coming from Avatamsaka Sutra, chapter 78. It says, "Bring a light into a dark room. Hundreds and thousands of years of darkness is instantaneously dispelled. Similarly, for Mahayana Bodhisattvas, light of Bodhi mind works the same way. As soon as the light enters the mind of sentient beings, negative karma and obstacles accumulated from the innumerable eons are completely dispersed. Thus, the Bodhi mind or wisdom is also called the one light. So from this quote, as well as all these analogy of light, it reminds us it's first of all very important for us to find the switch, how to switch on the light. Sometimes we don't even know where that switch is. So listening to and studying Buddha Dharma is a way to help us correct our deluded views and to help us find that switch. And once we're able to turn on the switch of wisdom, then we will then be able to see our vexations instead of just moping about in that dusty room, not really knowing what it is that we need to clear away. With wisdom, then we know exactly what that vexation is, then we'll be able to start working on them.
好，那要怎么样有智慧呢？好，我们平常讲的，要怎么样去长养、增长我们的智慧？闻思修，对不对？哈，那闻呢，就是听闻，多听闻佛法，哈，多亲近善知识，哈。那当你听闻佛法了之后，你一定还是要思维，否则它还只是什么文字相，对你来讲没有用，而且还是别人的东西，不是你自己的东西。那你透过思维，思维之后，你一定还要去实践它。哦，那从那里面，它才可以这些文字的这样的东西，还真能变成是可以内化，变成自己生命里面可以实践出来的你自己的东西，你自己的智慧。哦，那从这里面，从方法，从观念，哦，师父每次讲禅经里面，一定是不是只是讲方法，一定还是会讲观念。哦，当我们观念不正确，你即使在修行的时候，你可能还会走偏。那不断的从解和行里面去修正自己的身口意三业，去修正自己的观念，去修正自己的行为，之后能够去实证这些真理、这些道理。哦，其实这个就是自己修行的部分。当你自己从这里面，你智慧有了，你要更要有能够怎样发起菩提心。那你要能够利他，你一定要有不同的智慧。佛法是众生根性是怎样，非常非常不同。我们虽然讲说佛法有八万四千法门，是根据不同的众生来给这样子一个譬喻的数字，可是真的只有八万四千法门吗？众生百百种，对不对？其实光是我们自己，我们也是百百样，对不对？我们可能都还不了解我们自己，对不对？哦，我们光要度我们自己都已经很难，对不对？我们想说我们要怎么去度其他人，我们这时候我们的智慧更能要能够广博啊。所以我们自己修行，自己找到自己的根本法门，一定师父说我们还是要一门深入。可是问问我们众生，我们一定要怎样法门无量誓愿学，没错。哦，四弘誓愿里面的第二个就是告诉我们说，我们要度众生，众生无边誓愿度之后，我们要怎样度众生无边誓，做众生无边誓愿度这件事情，我们一定要发门无量誓愿学，对不对？哈，那我们才能够教化一切众生，然后才可以更真正的告诉他们真正的无上菩提的法乐，哈，这个觉悟的那个成道的乐是什么样子，哈，让他们也能够去尝到，哈，所以这是菩萨要常常心心细念要去做的事情。所以他想菩萨常念的哪些事情，你就是要做自利利他的事情。
So exactly how do we develop our wisdom? It comes in two different aspects. One is growing one's own wisdom, benefiting oneself. And that can be done through three different approaches or three levels of approaches. One is to listen and learn, study about Buddha Dharma, Buddha's teaching. And by getting close to people with wisdom or listen to Dharma teaching often, one can develop an understanding, conceptual or intellectual understanding of wisdom. And then from that point on, you have to further contemplate, engage in contemplation to truly understand the methods of to acquire more wisdom. Having method alone is not sufficient. All the time when Shifu teaches, he doesn't only talk about the method, then he connected with the concept. So having the correct concept will help us steer ourselves onto the right path, realizing where we fall short and what are the different aspects that we need to improve upon. And then at the end, after listening and studying as well as contemplation, then you have to realize the wisdom through practice, actually engage in activities as well as behaviors and mindsets in everyday setting that correspond with the wisdoms. And then from that point on, the other aspect is to benefit other people, benefit all sentient beings. And as you know, there are 84,000 Dharma doors, and that's only a metaphorical number, but that's to illustrate there's this many different types of sentient beings as well as different types of Dharma doors for different kind of sentient beings. And not only are sentient beings so different, we ourselves actually are multifaceted as well. We have many different sides that maybe we ourselves are not even aware of. So it is important to then cultivate expedient wisdoms to be able to address all these sentient beings of different needs and different dispositions. Just like what we often recite in the four great vows, that we have to first vow to deliver innumerable sentient beings, but from that point on, there are innumerable, many, many countless Dharma doors that we have to master in order to reach these sentient beings. And our ultimate goal is not only we ourselves are liberated from the vexations, but also to bring the great bliss, great joy to all sentient beings as well. And that is why tying this back to the first half of this phrase is that bodhisattvas are constantly thinking and practicing in this manner in order to benefit not only the self, but also the other sentient beings.
所以我们做一个菩萨行者，一个真正发心的菩萨行者，我们一定是自利又要利他的，众生根性真的很不同，光是我们自己就百百种样子，每天你看到的自己也都是不一样的，有时候你会怀疑，这个是我吗？我现在常常会观察说，这个是我吗？因为有时候会想，突然 怎么自己会是这个样子，对不对？你可能有时候是对自己是自己的呈现、自己的言语、行为、甚至念头，你都不一定认识自己，对不对？那我们知道我们自己是需要种种方法来帮助我们自己能够解脱，那众生更是需要。其实现在你看到我们现在整个的大环境的呈现， 虽然感觉上我们是生活不需要忧虑，可是其实你们觉得我们现在光看你自己，你不要觉得说你看别人，你觉得你是快乐的吗？你的心是平安的吗？是没有忧虑的吗？ 其实你会发现，其实我们感觉好像生活很富足，可是心的苦反而是增加的，有没有？你看到种种我们周遭的人，甚至是我们所有，光是看新闻，你会发现，哇，我们现在承受的苦，不比以前少，反而是多的，而且那种苦是百百种样子，你都没有办法想象说以前感觉好像没有这样子的现象，为什么现在是有这样的现象，然后我们是被困在这样子的现象里面，然后不断的在受苦，那苦的程度好像是增加的，所以我们
我们行菩萨道齁，我们就要想办法。你看以光以前可能学的这样子的方法，觉得说好像可以解决问题的，可是现在我们觉得说好像，因为现在我觉得有时候我在分享，就是帮助，就是有人可能有困难来询问的时候，我想说我觉得我给他这些观念好像他听不懂，或者是我觉得我的这里说要成就辩才，对不对？我没有辩才，没有办法用他的语言让他了解。那也是因为我们对现在很多众生的苦不明白，所以变成说我们要怎么去深入众生的心里面，看到他们真正的苦，然后从他们的角度，从他们的语言，从他们的思维方式，来把可以离苦的这样的观念跟方法告诉他们。这是我们一个菩萨行者要思维去做的，而且现在这样子的需求是越来越大，越来越多，而且越来越急迫。不是光是我们人哦，我们外在环境自然现象一样是这样子的，而且这些自然现象的呈现是从谁来的？一样是从我们来的吗？对不对？所以你看哦，我们辛苦，所以我们做了种种的行为造作，然后造成环境的现象的呈现，那这个现象呈现又回归到我们身上，又造成我们心理身心又更苦。那这样子的关系互动，我们要怎么样去解决，然后怎么去消融？我是看到从接触的，甚至是从新闻媒体里面读到的、看到的所有种种现象，我真的觉得说这是一个非常非常大的课题，在现在这个时空点里面，我们所有人的课题，不是只是我们几个人的课题。所以我觉得感觉讲做一位菩萨行者的责任好像感觉很大啦，可是我觉得这也是让我们修行能够更，我们讲到精进嘛，我们理解到苦，所以我们更精进的想要离苦，然后看到众生苦，我们更精进的想要让去长养，去成就自己，那个慈悲跟智慧怎样去帮助众生？那从这里面，也能够成就我们自己的佛道啦，所以看到现象这样子，其实我觉得反而是一个助力，告诉自己修行的方向，然后修行的精进要怎样真正的开始，要能够去实践它。我觉得再加上师父给我们的定位是什么，我们是一个观音道场，对不对？我们要怎么样学做一个观音菩萨，那这个觉知其实我觉得他就是告诉我们，我们要怎么样去做一位观音菩萨。那今天其实还是进度有点落后，没关系，我们下次希望能够把进度赶一下。好，今天就跟大家分享到这里，阿弥陀佛。
So as a practitioner of the Bodhisattva path, we need to constantly be mindful of this improvement and nurturing of self as well as others. Like I said earlier, even the self, even ourselves is very multifaceted. I often, examine myself, and sometimes it makes me wonder, is this me? So there are different sides of me as well as different kind of thoughts that crops up that surprises me. So even with ourselves, oneself, we're probably still not 100%. We don't know ourselves 100%. Needless to say, with all the myriads of sentient beings out there. So it is very important to acquire the wisdom as well as the ability to use different expedient means to help oneself and as well as others. And I find this to become even more urgent and crucial when it applies to not just our immediate environment, but as well as our external, larger environment. So when you look around to look at the state of our society right now, What do you think? What do you think the state that we are in right now? On the surface, it may appear that we are living in a state of abundance, that there's a lot that we probably don't have to worry so much about the day-to-day needs for most of us, fortunately. Yet, are we ourselves truly at peace, calm, and serene, and as well as this society, this community, this society, this country, the world, are we truly peaceful? So from the news, as you can all see, there doesn't seem to be any less suffering, and perhaps even with the abundance with materials listed good, there seems to be more sufferings. And it also seems that this society at large, we are kind of trapped in this gridlock of increased sufferings. So along this bodhisattva path, it helps us to understand the urgency as we are practicing on this bodhisattva path that with me, myself, I sometimes feel that for instance, if someone comes to me with a issue or something that they're fretting over, sometimes I feel that I'm not really able to address their needs or to really help them resolve their problem. It seems to that the method that I have or the concept I'm trying to communicate doesn't seem to be getting across very well. And one, it could be attributed to my own lack of eloquence or my own lack of understanding. But it also reminds us that it's for practitioners of the Bodhisattva path, it's very important for us to understand the exact cause and the root of people's suffering, the nature of their suffering. And by understanding their vexations, then we will then be able to come up with a method or approach or concept to adequately address their needs. So this kind of matters are becoming more and more urgent, in my opinion. And this also applies to our nature, our naturalistic environment, that it seems that the abundance that's causing us to have so much suffering is reflected into our natural environment as well. So there seems to be a lot of turbulence, and we are sort of stuck amidst of all these. So thinking about these larger issues, it made me realize that we have a great responsibility. And instead of thinking of this great responsibility as daunting, I think it actually can help us and facilitate our practice, making us understand that it's very important to know the natures of sufferings and then to encourage ourselves to press on to further nurture our own wisdom and virtues so that we will be able to help all sentient beings. So, tying this together with what Shifu had taught us, he sees this Chan Center as well as Dharma Drum Mountain as the way place of a practice place for Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, Guanyin Bodhisattva. So this reminds us how it's very important for us to keep sentient beings in mind and how to engage in practice so that we ourselves can become Guanyin Bodhisattvas to help others as well. And so it seems that we are still lagging a little bit in terms of progress, but I will end my talk today and we'll continue with the sixth realization next time.